Houston, it's time to turn up the heat. From Hiram Clark to Lake Houston, breaking news, bold takes, trades, and trash talk, you name it. Get ready for the hottest sports talk in the city.
Holla at your boy.
The B Block is hot on the drive.
All right, B Scott is in the building. Our Texans report as Brandon Scott rolls with us each and every Wednesday at 4:40-ish. He joins us, and here it is. We're finally here, B Scott.
It's about time, man. It is about time. Finally, man, enough fake football, enough practice, enough running around in shorts, taking notes from stuff that don't really – I mean, it matters to them, but how much does it matter to us? We finally get to really put pen to paper, man. I'm ready for it.
And they come right out of the gate with arguably the toughest game on their schedule. Obviously that Ravens team, when they're all right, has been an issue for this Texans group. But the Bills are one of the best teams in football. And obviously they've had great success. I think one of the things, and I know Clint pointed out earlier, is D'Amico is really preaching, as he spoke to the media today, really preaching, hey, let's not act like because what's happened the last two times that they have played the Buffalo Bills, and in particular Josh Allen, that they just got his number and that's just what it's going to be like. That it is clear, like, they are not falling for that.
Yeah, well, even if to whatever degree that they do have his number, I think he did a really good job, D'Amico, that is, earlier in the week or when he spoke before, of pointing out just how different the teams are, or how different this team is, I should say, how different the Buffalo team is. Obviously, like, they can have Josh Allen's number all they want. He still is Josh Allen, right? So, I mean, I understand that he had a real poor game against them 2 years ago, and the defense played lights out. He was better, but the defense played lights out, had him on the ground almost the entire game. And they deserve credit for that. But he's still a league MVP, a former MVP, arguably the best quarterback in the game right now. I think you could maybe take some exception to that. But you wouldn't be offended by him making the case. And so that's what it is. But I think the more important point for the Texans going into this week is to, or for Texans fans, especially when you try to evaluate this game, is to look at how Buffalo is different from what they were last year. They did not have DJ Moore, and you might think that too much is being made of DJ Moore, but he's a legitimate number one receiver. They didn't have Dalton Kincaid last year. They do now, right? And so you place kind of similar how I talk about Woody Marks being placed into a more proper role. Well, now somebody like Khalil Shakir will be in a more proper role. He won't be their number one guy, their number one option, because that'll be DJ Moore. And so I think when you look at the team, and that's just on the offensive side of the ball, we haven't even gotten to the fact that Jim Leonard is coming in. And I actually like the Texans matchup in both directions, like their defense versus this offense and their offense versus this defense. I do like their matchup, but just to caution everybody, it is a different team. It's a different scheme defensively. And so that comes with different personnel. Now the Bills are dealing with some crossover, holdover from last year's 4-3 system and trying to integrate into this year's 3-4 system. So they got that going on, but it's a different defense with some different players on it. Ed Oliver is going to be a factor in this game, was not in the last one.
Yeah.
And then on the offensive side of the ball, as we mentioned, DJ Moore, Dalton Kincaid, and that's before we even get to Josh Allen and James Cook and the guys that you know can beat you.
Yeah, it's a fascinating matchup, man. Because I'm with Cho. I like the way that D'Amico is not only using it, but I mean, it's almost one of those like don't take the bait type of deals. Right. Don't. I mean, y'all had some great games against him, but don't take the bait. So I love that D'Amico's using it. How do you feel about the pass catchers now that we're here and it's go time? Xavier Hutchinson looks like he's going to be a starter in the slot. And I would imagine he's going to be back up for the other two guys, the piece that they can chess piece, they can move around quite a bit. How do you feel about that group overall right now?
So I've said this before, but I really love the Kayshon Boutte trade and the fact that he's going to come in and that he's actually going to play in this game. And maybe I'm expecting too much, but I would like to see them hit the ground running. I understand, Clint, and you understand this probably better than anybody here, but it does take time to develop that chemistry, to develop that that camaraderie or that rapport with your receiver. Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily happen overnight. I'm not expecting it to. But when you talk about playing to a player's strengths, I think Kayshon Booty and C.J. Stroud fit each other's strengths, right? What is Kayshon Booty's specialty? The contested deep ball, right? He's a legitimate deep ball threat. And we know that C.J. Stroud, if he's let loose, likes to sling it.
Yep.
So there's a Nick Caley piece of this of – it's really twofold. There's a C.J. Stroud piece of this of how quickly can you develop this rapport with Kayshon Booty. And there's a Nick Caley piece of this of how much are you willing to unleash that. And so I really like the pass catchers, especially after the Kayshon Booty trade. And similar to what I was saying before with Khalil Shakir, or on the Texan side with Woody Marks, having Booty allows the other guys to play in their more suitable roles, and we'll see what happens from there. But I like the collection of weapons that they have.
Hey, his between 2 and 6, his name's Booty. Just letting you know.
I'm with it. I've said this before. I haven't had a chance to address this with him, but I really want to have a conversation with him of when it was, because he's from New Iberia, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know some folks from New Iberia, Louisiana. And they don't pronounce the name. And I know some Boutes from Beaumont, Port Arthur.
Coach.
And they got ties to Louisiana. So I'm pretty sure these are all the same people we talking about. And don't none of them call themselves Booty.
Ain't none
so
of them.
So I want to know.
Except the one that went to New England for 4 years.
I want to know from him. And at some point I will ask him this. When did you go from Boutes to Booty?
Yep.
And what led to that decision?
Yep. I'm with you. I want to know what granddaddy called. What's his last name?
Boutes.
That's right. Ain't no doubt, right?
Call it. You know what, Beast got here with us, Texans Report. You said you feel good about the Texans matchup offensively against the Bills defense. I am really watching this with, I don't know what I'm going to see. Like I'm not confident either way. Like I heard John McClain on Area 45 last night saying, we're not going to really know a lot about this offensive line or this quarter, the quarterback situation or Nick Caley in year two until we see them actually roll through there. It feels like there may be some differences in it. I want to be there. I just don't know. I don't know what if I can predict what exactly we're going to see from this offense.
Can I be honest with you?
I feel like I know they're going to try to run the football. That's it.
Y'all know I'm going to keep it real with you. It's less about the Texans and it's more about the Bills defense. It is not being, and some of it is probably me being predisposed or more exposed to the Texans, right? I've watched more of that. I've been at the training camp practices and I've talked to the people. So I am more, obviously more locked into the Texans clearly, but from the other side of it, I think that they are at an advantage from the standpoint of this is the first year of that defense. They admittedly, you go hear from Jim Leonard and hear from anybody over there in Buffalo, and they'll tell you this is kind of a bridge year, a gap year, a piece it together year, and they don't feel like it's going to look perfect immediately. And so to me, this would be the challenge to Nick Caley.
Now with C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Well, Nick Caley in year two with this offense and the same quarterback should be better and more prepared and more equipped than Jim Leonard's defense and that cast of characters that they got over there. And that's no disrespect to what they got, but it's not all that impressive once you get past Ed Oliver. I know they like some of their second-year defensive linemen as well, but Ed Oliver is the name over there.
Ed and Bradley Chubb.
And Bradley Chubb. And outside, and Bradley Chubb is also somebody that wasn't a factor in because he wasn't on the team last year. So they've got some players, but I don't feel like they have enough to really scare me, or if I was the Texans or certainly Texans fans, I wouldn't have any trepidation about being more confident in an offense that has had a year to work together versus a defense that just put it together. So it's far less about me beating my chest about how good this Texans offense is, because I ain't no fool. We're not there yet. They're going to have to show that. They're going to have to prove that. But I do think that they are at least a step ahead of this defense.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's the physicality piece of the offensive line, which we've damn sure not seen at all. I mean, even joint practices aren't going to show you that. That is what they're planning to hang their hat on. We hadn't seen it. Not to mention, can those guys that are the more physical ones that they chose to be your top five, can they pass protect?
Right.
And then the communication piece between C.J., the center, and the offensive line and the tight ends and running backs and everybody's involved, they are going to be defensively, they are going to be, I'm sorry, offensively, they're going to be strained schematically. Like, they're going to show them double-A gap pressures a lot and force CJ to hold the play clock and force him to, they're going to force the getting out of the huddle and getting to the line of scrimmage thing to be a factor.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to manipulate the defense, and that's the other piece that we haven't seen. We've seen CJ go against his own defense and hold up better, but we haven't seen him go against a defense that literally play in, play out the game plan is to manipulate what you can do and your communication. So those are what we'll see when rubber meets the road.
I'm glad that you're bringing it up, though, because the limited time when we did see it in the joint practice against the Raiders wasn't necessarily great. You know, and the Raiders are just not a good team outside of Max Crosby. But they had some issues with that in training camp.
Yeah.
So we've seen enough to be a little bit concerned about the exact thing that you're talking about. So the rubber is going to have to meet the road when it comes to that. But I think what is going to be key, and we keep saying it, we keep drilling it home, but if they can just run the ball at all.
Changes the game.
That's the one thing that I have confidence walking in is they are going to try to run the football.
And if they can.
And they won't quit.
They will try. And if they can semi-successfully. They ain't got to be great at it. If they can do it at about league average, I think they can open up some things. And it'll just be about how they handle those pressures and how they communicate up front.
Year two is a little bit of a mystery of how they're going to approach this thing. And I'm excited to kind of see what's going to happen. Yeah. All right. That's B. Scott joins us each and every Wednesday.